What got you going on this, Randy? This new one called Finding Utopia.
It started back in the 90s when I did a book called Ghost, Ohio's Haunted Landscapes, Lost Arts, and Forgotten Places. That was 1996 it came out and did pretty well. So I waited about 10 years and I did a follow-up called Lost Ohio. Then this is a follow-up to the follow-up. So they're all three similar in format. I travel around the state to find forgotten places, interesting people, and fading Ohioana, that sort of thing.
Quite a few of them right in our neck of the woods, too.
Yep.
As many times as I've driven through the little town called Utopia, or at least on the outskirts of it, I wish I had read this book prior, too. Tell us about Utopia, right along the Ohio.
I first became acquainted with Utopia in the 70s when I was working for the Cincinnati Enquirer. And I got hired as the Batavia Bureau Chief. So I was covering Claremont County, and I took a drive down Route 52 and came to Utopia. I don't know, something about the name, it just fascinated me, and I wrote a few stories about it over the years. The name came from the settlement there. Actually, there were multiple settlements there over a period of years in the 1800s. Some of them were just people that wanted to get away from the world, and they went out to a place on the river and started a town. That didn't work, and then a new group came in, and they were reformers, I guess you could call them, people that were looking to get away from the changing times with industrial revolution beginning and that sort of thing. And
almost communal type living.
It was a commune, yes, it was. Eventually, a third group came in, a spiritualist group. And there was a disaster there when the river came up quickly and washed away a building and killed, I can't remember the number, but I think it was at least 40 people. So it's had a brief, interesting history like that, and then it just settled into its current mode of a few people living there, and it just still hangs onto the map. That's one thing I'm interested in, how these towns cling to the map when there's not much left. Utopia looks like a bustling community compared to some of these places I've been.
Well, that's one of the common things that I think just about every one of these towns have in common with each other is at one time, most of them were bustling communities.
Yeah.
And now they've dwindled down to a couple hundred, if that. Some populations in the thousands.
Oh, yes. I've come across a number of towns that had 5,000, 6,000 people, and now there might be 50 or something like that. So that's what I set out to do. I went around the state looking for ghost towns originally, and then I discovered, well, there's more to this than just ghost towns. I found forgotten people and other kinds of things, like battlefields that are now turned into cornfields and subdivisions and everything. And I found a number of things that were, quote, ghostly, I guess you could call them. I don't mean that in a specter kind of way, but just the ghost of Ohio's past. When I was working on my first book, I threw half of it out and started over again and kept half because I wanted to focus more on these other kinds of things that are along with the ghost towns. I mean, you find so many different things like the canals. I wrote about that in the first book. And this book, I have a section called Vanishing Places and then other types of things, mostly ghost towns, but I do have a number of things like the battlefield at Fort Recovery, which was the largest Indian victory over the U.S. Army in history. I went to the battlefield and walked around. It was a very eerie place because this town sits right upon the battlefield. We're talking about the village of Fort Recovery, Ohio, up in Mercer County. So I walked around town, and I'm going down Main Street. It's a very attractive little town. And coming out of the middle of the sidewalk is a big metal sign, a historical marker, and it says, on this site, General Richard Butler was killed at the Battle of St. Clair's defeat. The town is just right on the battlefield, and it's fascinated me how a town could be on a battlefield like this, and it fascinated me about the things that have happened over the years there, where for the first 100 years, bones would just come up out of the ground. I mean, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of soldiers that were massacred there. Kids would find them, they'd be playing, and they'd find something and find skeletons. They finally took all of these remains that they could dig up and had a thing called Bone Burying Day. Thousands of people came to this back in the, I think it was the 1880s, and they buried all the soldiers in one large grave site with a monument and things like that to mark it. And then a fort has been erected there, Fort Recovery, which was erected on the battlefield a year or two later by General Anthony Wayne to send a message that we're back and that sort of thing. And so it's a reproduction of the fort. It's a very interesting town.
Up around Marysville, Magnetic Springs, that's another one of those towns that at one time was flourishing, thousands, hotels.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's an interesting story.
Professional and college football teams going mm-hmm. there for the healing waters, and it's diminished
yes.
tremendously.
A friend of mine told me about that place. I hadn't heard of it. And this is a few years ago. And I thought he meant something about my car because we were talking about my travels. And I thought, how could my springs be magnetic? And then I understood what he meant. Well, he meant a town. So I went up. It's still a town. I mean, but all the big hotels that held thousands of people, they're all gone. I think there might be one left, but it's not open. So I went around town and talked to people, and some actually remembered the heyday because it hasn't been that long ago. I mean, it was the 50s, I think,
yeah,
when they were still
century, yeah.
hanging
mid,
on. And I found a guy whose grandfather owned one of the big hotels, and he was a physician, and he took care of his patients there, and people would come from all over the country, as they did to a lot of these spring towns, if you want to call them that. I think New York had some, and they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. But this one was a little different because the water is supposedly magnetic, and it has certain properties in it, different kinds of irons and different things, that it would temporarily help arthritis. So people would come for this, quote, cure, and they would feel better. And I'm told that they would get out of the ambulance or whatever they were in and had to be helped up to the door. And when they left, they would walk out on their own, maybe with a crutch, but they were walking after they stayed for a while and had...
Yeah, it wasn't an instant cure.
No.
Sometimes it was a couple of days, sometimes a week or
yes,
so.
Yes, that's right.
They would indeed walk away.
That was an interesting place to go. I enjoyed that trip.
There is a brand of bottled water that's called Magnetic Springs even today, and I believe it still comes from that little town.
It does, I believe.
Further up north... And we're talking with Randy McNutt. The book is called Finding Utopia, Another Journey into Lost Ohio. One of the places I've been, a friend of mine used to live there. He's now down south, but up on Lake Erie, Johnson's Island.
Oh, really? Yeah.
We were able to stay there a couple of nights. Beautiful place.
It is.
Talk about the Confederate brig that was up there.
The chapter in the book is called Confederates on the Island. You could just see it out there. It's not that far from the shore. So I went over there and looked around the island and saw the graves. It was a beautiful place. But what happened was once the war got going in full swing, the Union needed a place to put these captured Confederate officers. And it was pretty much exclusively officers there. There were a few others, but mainly officers.
And quite a few generals.
Yes, there were. I think five or six. At first, it was sort of like a country club of prisons. They would let them go into town and everything else. And it was sort of, you're a Southern gentleman, and we know you're not going to run away. And it worked okay. And then the war got moving into high gear, and resources became scarce, and food became scarcer. The South was having problems feeding their captured Union soldiers, and the Union officials, I wouldn't say retaliated, but they thought, well, we don't have a lot either. So it wasn't one of the worst prisons, but it was not a good place. There was a lot of disease.
That plus the winters are horrendous.
Yes, and a few of the soldiers attempted to escape, but it was difficult because you're on this island and there's no way to get across, and if the lake or something froze, they might be able to walk, but I don't think there were many escapees at all, and if anybody did escape, it was probably only one or two.
And there's kind of a little bit of a ghost story here, too, where there were some Italian quarry workers
yes.
working there at some point, and they heard male voices singing
yes.
a song that was totally unfamiliar to them, them being yep. from Italy. They That's went right. to shore at some point, talked to some folks on land, and they said, well, what's the song sound like? And they hummed it the best they could, and it turned out to be Dixie.
Yes, that's right. I thought that was fascinating. I'm from Hamilton, so I was interested in one of the prisoners there. A physician, Dr. John McElwee, who was a copperhead, meaning he was anti-war. So he had a newspaper and wrote something that the Union officials didn't like, and they charged him with treason and threw him into the prison at Johnson's Island with the
rebel,
with the Confederate officers. He spent some time there.
The book is called Finding Utopia, Another Journey into Lost Ohio. If you happen to be planning a day trip in or around Ohio, I advise you pick it up. There's some fascinating stories written by my guest, Randy McNutt. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good luck with it. And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Brian O'Donnell.